up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too, brother.
And back fresh from Jelly Rolls is Pete. Pete, how's your evening going?
Hey, everybody. And I thought Ohana meant all you can eat meat on a stick.
Yeah.
I thought Ohana meant overrated restaurant at the Poly.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Yep.
But the overrated part of it. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
agree.
Yeah. Guys, if you're not already, please like, subscribe, share. Especially if you're wanting to do follow along on the Andor series that's coming up with us. We're going to have... You can get over yourself. We're going to be doing basically following that through in the month that's going to be hitting it hard. So Kate can deal. If I can deal with Marvel, you can deal with the series.
That's fair.
We all kind of liked the first season of.
So this is season two of Andor.
Correct.
And we did like the first one.
We did like the first one. So
even Derek.
What do you mean, even Derek?
You don't like anything.
That's okay. Well, I can't argue about that right now.
It's funny because it's true.
Maybe in like a month and a half.
Unless it's more than 30 years old and baseball themed.
No, not necessarily baseball themed. Not all baseball themed stuff is great. So
true.
Now, this week we watched the animated Lilo and Stitch. They've got the live action one coming out in May. We're going to stick to our guns of not watching the live action remakes. But we watched the original animated. It follows Stitch from, he is this experiment. I had not remembered that he was basically designed as a weapon by the mad scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in to the crash lands in Hawaii and to Lilo and her older sister, who are trying to get by without their parents, which I think they died in a car wreck.
That would be on par for Disney.
That's more or less what they say. They went out for a drive
and it was raining.
They went out for the drive with the Starks.
Yeah. Oh no. No. We can't blend these. No. No.
That was well played. That was well played.
Anyway, and it's all about how Stitch is not acting well and Lilo is not acting well. They actually act very, very similar, which is kind of odd. And it's this older sister trying to do everything she can to keep their family together. And the aliens show up and try to take Stitch back. And the Ving Rhames character, which, yes, that is who voices the social worker.
Yep.
Comes in and is going to split them up, but decides they need to stay together. Turns out he's like, the plot takes some suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
So what about this, though, caught a great wave? What was great? And I mean, not just good. What was great about this movie? Kate?
Yeah. Some of the one-liners. So this movie came out in 2002, correct?
Yes.
And which I would have been a fresh eighth grade freshman, roughly somewhere in there. And I mean, this was for me. I loved this movie. I watched this movie probably every day for a long time. And just the one-liners, even when Lilo is under the bed, and they're like, Lilo, are you okay? She goes, leave me alone to die. And then she turns up the music. Like, oh my God. And when she's buying Stitch, and she looks at Nani and goes, I want to buy him. Can I borrow some money? And then hands it to her. And she can, it's just the quick wit. It gives me almost a Gilmore Girls like quick wit to me. That might be a bit of a stretch, but, and even just the characters like Mr. Bubbles, and it just, God, I just loved this movie. It still holds up to me, but I don't know if it still holds up because it's actually really good or because I'm so sentimental. Like, I'm still just so sentimental with this movie because this was so much of my childhood. But that's the one thing I will say is
that's part of a reason to like something.
Yeah.
Part of
a reason to like something is, yes.
You know,
the quick wits, or one of my other favorite parts is when one of the girls is being mean to Lilo and Stitch holds her back. And then she says something and he goes, okay. And then she goes, that's it. And I think Lilo, I see a lot of myself in Lilo, in her like sort of being misunderstood, but also kind of marching to the beat of her own drummer. And yeah, I love this movie. Pete, I could sit and talk about this for a long time. So Pete, I'll let you go.
What I like about this movie is it's got a lot of really weird moments that don't feel like Disney was letting whoever made this movie do things that weren't very Disney to me. And I think it's a lot of the same things you're talking about. I mean, Lilo is not a typical Disney character. She's got anger issues. She's not a very nice kid. She does nothing like it's funny, like Nani is trying to keep them together. Lilo does nothing to try to keep the family together. She practically does everything in her power to get taken away. And like just some of the stuff, I mean, not everything in this movie works for me. Unlike you, I have kind of the opposite with this movie in that, you know, I was already in my 30s when it came out, and I didn't see it when it first came out. That was right around the time, it was a year before our daughter was born, but I wasn't seeing every Disney movie at that point. So I probably first saw it 5 or 6 years, I know, sometime after it came out, when our daughter was a little older. And I've still probably only seen it, this might be my third viewing. I do like the use of the Elvis songs. That's a lot of fun. There's a lot of fun stuff. Yes. There's fun moments in this movie. Pleaky with the mosquitoes, and then like Bubbles at the end is like, oh yeah, we convinced them the mosquitoes are an endangered species. Just moments like that. I just really, there's some stuff in this movie I really like, and a lot of it's a little weird for stuff Disney does. So I'm not fully enamored with this movie, but there's stuff to like about it, I guess is what I'm saying. So what about you, Derek? What'd you
like? I want to add in one thing real quick before you go, Derek. It almost gives the same vibes as The Incredibles, with some of the same humor as The Incredibles, where it's not your, some of the jokes that they made, it's not your typical squeaky clean Disney movie. It reminds some of that quick wit reminds me of some of the things that are said in The Incredibles. But anyway, go ahead, Derek.
Well, first I want to address the fact that I'm not sure Gilmore Girls is the pinnacle of quick wit.
It's the same writers as The West Wing.
No, not West Wing.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Marvelous Miss Maisel, though.
Okay.
So I liked watching a hand-drawn movie. The cells were all hand-drawn. They were computer colored, which is weird. I liked the watercolor backgrounds. I really enjoyed because I love that softer look. And it really made you understand that this was truly a still in the hand-drawn, at least spirit of the Disney animation. There were moments, or I can put an S on it, of that made me chuckle. Okay. Yeah. So, So I actually read somewhere that this was originally not supposed to be set in Hawaii. This was originally supposed to be set in the middle of Kansas. Yeah, the original story was in the middle of Kansas. So I'm not saying it has to be the middle of Kansas, but would this work in a different setting, or is Hawaii to the whole Ohana part of it, the whole he can't swim part of it, is that too ingrained in this story? I, for one, think you probably could have gone to Australia with this, and do a, because there's enough weird animals down there that he would actually kind of fit in. You've got, especially if you made it then, not necessarily people, but like him fit in with the family kangaroos or something. I don't know. It's just, I don't think it had to be, I don't know how they would do it, but I personally don't necessarily think it had to be Hawaii.
My brain also, I would like it to be known that I was incorrect. It was not the West Wing. It was the movie, The American President, that I was thinking that Alan Sorkin also wrote. It wasn't the West Wing.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyway. And if you put a little bit of a spin on it, Oliver and Company, was that set in Chicago or New York?
New York.
See, I feel like this could be, I don't see it working in Kansas, but I feel like if you made it hip hop dancing instead of hula dancing, and if you shifted things, you could set this in a city, but it would take away a lot of, I mean, it was completely changed the culture, which I think is a beautiful part of this movie. That would be like trying to set Moana in a different setting. It could be done, but I don't think it would be as good.
Yeah, I think a lot of what makes this movie work is the Hawaiian setting, and that these people are local Hawaiians. They're, you notice when they crash, when he shows them crash landing, it's, I think, Kauai or something. It's not even.
But the last shot, they're on the Big Island.
The last shot, they're on the Big Island after they're, but that's after they fly around in the,
yeah, true,
in the ship. And we got to talk about that too, because there's an interesting story behind that, but we'll get to that. I want to talk about that a little bit. But if you watch at the beginning, they land on like Kauai. So it's very purposely put it in an isolated area. It's a tourist area. Again, the weirdness of like, oh yeah, he's some kind of weird dog that got run over by a truck, you know, like when he clearly doesn't, but forget even that, you got, you know, one of the Pleaky and Jumba are disguised as tourists, and one of them just has one giant eye. nobody bats an eye at that either. I mean, it's just so like the suspension of disbelief is pretty high with this movie, but you know, I don't know. It's I think there's so much, like as I said, the tourism there, the fact that these people work in like the industry with the luau's and everything like that. I it surprises me. It had to have been very early in the story work that it was set in Kansas, because they worked so much of Hawaiian culture into this movie. It really feels intrinsic to it. And I could it have worked somewhere else? I mean, it's a basic, you know,
it's a basic story,
bloody story, right? It's E.T. is not that different from,
that's a really good point,
from the plot of this movie. And so you definitely could do it somewhere else, but I thought they did a really good job of making Hawaii a part of the story, instead of just being like, oh, it's in Hawaii because we wanted him to not be able to get to a big city. You know, I thought they worked that well.
Okay. That's fair. So one question I had as I was watching this, is this called Lilo and Stitch? Well, but who is the main character? Is Stitch the main character? Is Stitch a sidekick? Is Stitch a co-character? Where in the story arc exactly does Stitch fit in? And Kate, you're over there shaking your heads to not a main character.
No, I think Lilo is the main character.
So what's Stitch?
I think Stitch is like the anti-hero. Like, you cheer for Stitch, but he's not always the good guy. In fact, most of the movie, Stitch is a problem.
Always Lilo.
Yeah, but...
No, there's no buts.
No, but there is, because I feel like some of Lilo's bad behavior comes from trauma and comes from... It's like what Pete said. She had anger issues and was very misunderstood. And I think that is partly why her and Stitch are such kindred spirits. But if they are not co-leads, Lilo is the lead and Stitch is the supporting character. But I like how you put co. So I think I might change my answer and have to say they're co. Pete, what do you think?
That's what I was going to say. It's I think in Hollywood they call it a two-hander, right? You got two main characters in your story. What?
No,
am I using that wrong?
No.
You have something to say? Oh.
Just go ahead, Pete.
Keep going, Pete.
I literally had something caught in my throat. So there was no message there.
Oh. Sorry. I think that this is really two main characters. Both characters go through an arc throughout the story. I actually think Stitch's arc is a little bigger, because really initially when we're introduced to Stitch, he's just this agent of chaos, and he actually grows a little more than she does. I mean, I think they both do. They, as Kate said, they're both have anger issues, right? And they're both not really knowing how to fit in and things like that. But I think Lilo is the one that shows Stitch what's possible. And clearly, even though he's a creature that's designed to do damage, he still is able to learn and function and everything. And so I think it's a co-leads. I think it really is Lilo and Stitch.
Okay.
What about you, Derek?
I was going to go more, for the most part, the comic relief sidekick. He has his story arc, but I would almost make an argument for the sister to be your primary character, because of everything she, and Lilo and Stitch are just the chaos agents. So, I mean, yes, it's not on her. It does not completely focus on her, but she's the one that goes through the most. So
she's definitely like the best character, like the best person in the bunch, right?
Real person,
right. I mean, she's really, she seems like she's really trying. As I say, you look at that movie and you kind of think, well, Lilo is like this kid's got some problems, but she's like actually like pushing, she's actually creating problems. She's stopping her sister from getting a job or from keeping a job. She runs away from school. Her sister tells her to stay home. She runs away from home. You know, I mean, so she's making Nani's life more difficult to try and keep her. And, you know, it's a tough situation. I mean, but I still would say that Nani is a side character more than a main character, because
I would agree with that. I would say, yes, she is a side character, but she's the one that I actually found myself like caring about and hoping that things went best for her.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I will say I see a lot of similarities in being raised by a single mom, even though Nani is her sister, not her mom. And maybe that's partly why I like this movie so much, is because I see a lot of like things that my mom and I went through, like, go to your room. I'm already in my room. Like, just, just like things. What?
I thought that was just having daughters. That's what my wife's telling me.
I mean, yes, but yeah, anyway.
So, okay.
There was less F-bombs than an actual daughter, though.
Ooh, I didn't say that around my mama.
Young. Oh. Lilo's still young.
Oh.
So,
that's true. She didn't do that young.
Did we ever actually get an age guess on Lilo? Did we ever figure out how old she is? I was guessing like 5.
I put her in elementary school. I was thinking like kindergarten.
So well, 5 or 6.
Five or six. I thought she was more like 8.
Okay.
But I don't think it's strictly, it's certainly not defined in this movie. I mean, there's actually a lot of other Lilo and Stitch stuff.
Yes, there is. We will not be following up with those.
No, no.
Okay. So if that's what we talked about, some stuff that we've liked, we talked about some stuff that works, didn't necessarily work. What should have been left behind? What was not, what should not have been included in the Ohana of this movie? And I'm going to start on this one. This was not a funny movie. This was a sad movie.
It was heavy.
This is not a relaxing go enjoy. To me, this is one of those, it really feels like this is one of those, the movies where they put all of the funny parts in the trailers.
Yeah.
And get people to watch the movie.
Yeah.
All of the funny Stitch parts are in the trailers. So it's a case of just, it's not a movie you want to just sit down, at least as an adult, just sit down and go, oh, I'm going to, you know, watch a Disney movie for a good time, watch a Disney movie for a nice relaxing time. That's not this to me. So that's an issue. Pete?
I disagree with that. I think there's quite a bit of humor in it. I think not all of it is humorous, certainly. But I think like all the stuff with Jumba and Pleaky for the most part is funny. The stuff that works the poorest for me is like the actiony stuff.
Including apparently the spaceship chase.
Well, actually the beginning of the movie, the first like 10 minutes of the movie and the last 10 minutes of the movie are my least favorite parts of the movie. So yeah, the action stuff, it doesn't work that well for me. You know, that the end, okay, I get it. You know, we got to have Stitch realize that he loves Lilo and he's got to rescue her and everything. But it never made any, really made any sense that like this guy is going to capture. I mean, he's gonna think he has Lilo and Stitch, and then Stitch is gonna get out. He's not gonna notice this, and
he's gonna keep going with Lilo. I mean,
right? Yeah, it's a lot of it doesn't make sense. So I really, as I said, I like it's a rare movie that I like the middle part the best. When Lilo finds Stitch, like. It takes a little. I mean, I get you got to set up the characters, so I do not like. As I said, the whole first act, you know, not act, but the first section in space.
No, I'd say the first act with him escaping.
Yeah, I feel like that feels like a different movie to me almost, and not one I really care for. So I don't know. That part I don't really care for, particularly the beginning. But even like when Jumba comes in and he's like blowing up her house and everything like that, I'm like, I don't really want this movie where this little kid is in danger. By the way, I looked it up. You guys are right. She is 6.
Oh, cool.
So I don't really like this, you know, this sequence where this little 6-year-old is getting thrown around and.
Yeah. And
it has heavy parts for sure.
Yeah.
And the whole where she should have, been, she was going to be taken. She was literally in the car to be taken away from her sister.
Well, I'm okay with that in that, I mean, that's an emotional moment and you're trying to, I mean, the best Disney movies, you know, Walt would always say it, you got to have a little sadness with your joy or whatever. I think I was okay with that because it doesn't last very long. You know, it's not like, but just some of the, as I said, some of the action stuff just didn't work as well for me.
Okay.
So what about you, Kate?
I will say, did either of you do Stitch's Great Escape, the ride at Magic Kingdom?
That should have been left behind.
You never did it, Derek?
No.
It was terrifying. So
never did the Alien Encounter.
I never did Alien Encounter.
Alien Encounter was 10 times scarier than the Stitch version.
Nope.
I
did do Stitch once, and it was terrible.
Yeah, yeah. It was terrible, but it was still scary to little kids.
Yes. Oh, it was frightening to little kids.
The original, I only rode the original one once, and it didn't scare me as an adult, but I sat in there, you know, I must have been in my 20s, so it wasn't like I'm, you know, I had kids or anything like that, but I just sat there on it going like, this ride has to be so terrifying. So many children every day. Why would you put this in Magic Kingdom? That's all I could think of.
I still remember it when it was Mission to Mars.
Right. Yeah.
So
I thought that was. Yeah. Okay.
No.
It started as Mission to Mars.
Yeah. I got that in Mission Space.
Mission to Mars. Then yeah. So okay. Now this movie. Uses a lot of Elvis songs. It actually uses more Elvis songs than any Elvis movie ever did. I'm going to go something fairly light to wrap us up here. What is your favorite Elvis song in this movie or not? What is your favorite Elvis song, Kate?
That is an impossible question for you to ask me.
No, it's really not.
Because I am a huge Elvis fan. Elvis was one of the first CDs I ever owned. My dad introduced me to Elvis. I feel like I kind of have to say Can't Help Falling in Love because that's what my husband and I danced to at our wedding, which you both were at. But, oh God, it's so, like, there's so many good ones. I'm going to have to go with
Blue Christmas.
Jailhouse Rock. Jailhouse Rock.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say, Kate.
I'll pick a different one.
That's okay. I'll pick a different one.
Okay, you pick a different one.
I like Suspicious Minds.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Okay.
I'm not a huge Elvis fan, but he does have some very good songs for sure.
I want to go to Graceland so bad.
And see, I like his songs. I cannot stand Elvis's voice, to be perfectly honest.
Who hurt you?
Oh, the list is long and distinguished.
I love Elvis.
So my favorite Elvis song is actually not sung by him. For me, it is Jailhouse Rock. I love the version, though, at the end of Blues Brothers.
Yeah, that's why I was going to... because I love that movie, so...
Yes.
That's why I was going to say Jailhouse Rock.
I'll change my vote to from this movie. It's when she's listening to Heartbreak Hotel and she's under, and that's when she says, "Leave me alone to die." And then she turns on Heartbreak Hotel.
Thinking it there. Yeah. So.
Oh, God. So good.
As we always do, we do cups of pictures. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Pete.
Okay. There's two things we have to bring up. There was two changes to this movie that were done, one before release, one after release, that are worth talking about. I don't know if you noticed the post release one. So there's a point where Lilo is hiding from Nani in the house, and she's like hiding behind like a pizza box that's propped up on a cabinet. Yeah.
It was virtually an oven.
It was a dryer. Because it's right next to the washer. She was hiding in the dryer, and when they released the movie, like, they got a lot of complaints that, like, oh, you don't want to encourage kids to hide in the dryer. So it's now there's like a pizza box propped up on a thing. It's like,
I missed that.
Yeah. I forgot.
Confirmed that 21-year-old me did fit into a dryer because someone bet me $10 I wouldn't do it.
Oh, wow.
And
I did it. There's photo cycles, evidence.
How many cycles did you go through?
You're hilarious. Mm-hmm.
Explains a lot.
Yeah.
The other thing is, when did this movie come out? 2002, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot this one, too.
The original ending to this movie is they steal a jumbo jet.
Uh-huh.
And they're flying after, I forget the Manta or whatever his name is. They're actually flying in a jumbo jet. But because of 9/11, they were like, oh, my God, we can't have a plane crash in this movie.
That's right, why after 9/11 became so much bigger.
Right. So what they actually did is they animated over the plane with the spaceship. That's why it's a spaceship
with the
and it's all
everything. Yeah.
And it's all CGI, but they basically animated over it. You can actually go out and find on like the internet, you can find the scenes with a plane. But if you watch the scenes like inside, like they show Pleaky sitting in like what looks like a plane seat.
Yeah.
Because some things they really like couldn't change. So some things in it, if you look in the interior, still look like a plane, but it's kind of interesting knowing the history behind the movie that they actually like reanimated the last section of the movie because of 9/11.
I have probably seen this movie 300 times and I did not know any of that. That's wild.
See what happens when you get a couple old Disney geeks on.
No, this is what happens when the internet is active and alive and well now.
The more you know.
Yeah. Okay. So, as we normally do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5. I have a feeling I know what her vote's going to be, but it'll be interesting to see what 2 of us. So, Kate, cups of pixie dust out of 5.
I'm going to give it a 3.5.
I thought you were going to go higher, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. So I wasn't going to.
Should let us influence you.
No, you didn't. So a lot of you who have been listening to our podcast for ever since we started it know that I used to work for Disney. I was unfortunately laid off with COVID. And while a lot of movies and quotes and soundtracks and stuff like that didn't really affect me, this one did, because when you work for Disney, they preach Ohana. Ohana means family. And it's true. Like, you are a part of the family. And so this movie has changed a little bit, but I don't think it's this movie's fault. It's just kind of the memories that it brings up for me of working for the company. And I probably won't actively go rewatch this one. I used to watch it all the time. But now this movie also brings up some painful memories. So, and I can't give something a 4 if I won't actively be like, yes, I am going to rewatch it.
That's fair.
Maybe if I have kids. And again, that's not really this movie's fault. There's so much great about this movie. I could probably give it a 4, but I'm gonna stick with a 3.5, which is still a really good, that's higher than I usually rank things. So, and I think that's just because I probably won't go rewatch this one. Even though it does have some good memories, it also has some painful memories attached to it because of working for the company, and it makes me miss my time with Disney. So, yeah, that's kind of the way that both of you just looked at me, the way both of you went.
We both thought you were going to rate it higher.
Well, yeah, because you literally spent the last 30 minutes saying, I love this movie.
I love this movie. I do. I'm going to give it a 3.5. And no, I don't have anything super negative to say. It's kitschy. It's a kid's movie. I loved it. It's got some great one-liners, but you're right. There is a lot of trauma in this movie. This is not, if you want to go sit and laugh, go watch The Incredibles. There are other movies that you can just laugh your way through. This isn't really one of them. And maybe part of the reason that I resonated with this movie is because I had trauma as a child. So as I was watching this and as I dissect it, I'm like, oh, I probably need to talk to my therapist again. So like, we're doing great. So yeah, 3.5 for me.
No, I'm sure there's a lot of kids that I could, I honestly could picture, like, if I was of the right age that this movie, you know, that I was in eighth grade when this movie came out, I could, because I said it's a little bit of a weird movie, and I liked weird when I was a kid. So
when he was a kid,
what?
Just when he was a
kid. Oh, I still like weird. I'm not denying it. So actually, I'm gonna, even though I'm not a huge fan of this movie, I'm gonna give it a 3. I'm entertained by it. I don't mind watching it. As I said, I've seen, you know, now I've seen it like 3 times. Is it something I'm gonna gravitate to? Probably not. But if my daughter said, you know, in 6 months she was like, oh, let's watch Lilo and Stitch, I'd be like, yeah, sure. So I'm gonna give it a 3.
I'm going with a 2. It's not. Trust me, and it's a high 2, but I can't give it a 2.5 because there's stuff we've rated recently that I've rated a 2.5 that I would watch before. I would much rather watch than this.
Name two
of them. Cinderella and Rookie of the Year.
I gave you would rather watch Cinderella than Lilo and Stitch?
Very much.
Pete, would you rather watch Cinderella than I wouldn't. I'd watch Lilo and Stitch before Cinderella.
No, I think I would choose. I probably gave Cinderella also a 3.5. What?
You gave Cinderella 3.5.
Oh, what did I give it?
3.
I gave Cinderella a 3.5 because of what I think of it in the annals
overall
of history and what it meant to, like, it was kind of the gateway for my daughter and everything like that to Disney. But honestly, of the two, I would probably be more likely to go back to, as an adult watching an animated movie, I would probably go back to Lilo and Stitch. I'm going to show my grandkids movie, I would pick Cinderella.
That's fair. There are more it's right on the line, but there are more sections of Cinderella I would rather watch than the sections of Lilo and Stitch I would like to watch. So, okay. I want to do now is, if I am correct, we're getting ready for the finale of Daredevil. Am I right?
2 more episodes, I think.
2 more episodes? Okay.
Well, and, one of the...
I think
Night is the second to last episode.
I think I'm one episode behind. Are you all caught up, Pete?
They might be putting them both out tonight, though.
No, I think tonight's one, and I think next week is the finale.
Okay.
So we will talk about Daredevil in 2 weeks. I didn't know if there was any updates, anything you wanted to mention this, because I'm not watching Daredevil.
Sure. So. Let me look. I don't think, Pete, has there been any 2 drops since you and I were talking about it, since you and I were texting? Okay. It's so good. If you are a Marvel fan, especially if you are deep in the lore, the Easter eggs that they drop are great.
Well, if you were a fan of the original series, I would think that you would like this. As I said, to me, it's not as...
Oh, no, there's 2 that I haven't seen. 7 and 8 dropped.
8 just dropped 8 today.
Tonight.
Oh, okay. So I guess I am 2 because I haven't seen 7 or 8 yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm technically 1 behind because I haven't seen the episode that dropped 40 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
While we've been recording this, an episode dropped.
Yeah. So. It dropped at 9 o'clock. So.
So 8 is that the final episode?
No, there's 9.
Copy that. Okay.
Great. Episode 7 doesn't have anything earth shattering happen in it. So.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah,
I would just give me a chance to talk about it a little bit if you guys wanted to. So
I mean, it's in my, and I know I've said this, in my opinion, Wilson Fisk is the epitome of the perfect villain. The way, and it's the writing. It's in my mind.
What makes
you have a great villain when you can make me empathize with you? When you can make me go, I kind of see why he did that. Or like, there was trauma in his childhood. Or, like when you are so evil and then you show a sliver of humanity. Did either of you, I know this isn't on Disney Plus, did either of you ever watch the TV show called Turn?
No.
Okay, first of all, both of you need to go. Well, Derek, you may not watch it. It's
about a bird up in the Arctic, right?
No, it's about the turncoats. It's about the Washington's spy, President Washington's spy ring, the Culper spy ring. It's great. It is so good. But one of the villains in that show, his name is Admiral Simcoe, and he never really raises his voice. And he's very proper. He's British. And he is so evil. He is so evil. But you almost like, he doesn't come off as evil. And I feel like that with Fisk, where like, he has his moments for sure. And you see it. But he also has these tender moments. It's the writing is so good. Pete, would you agree with that?
Well, I think to me, what's interesting about Fisk is he's like believably human, even though he's a really bad man. he's very violent and he's prone to rage. And that I think that's what makes him scary, is that he's like, he can be very calm and he can be very responsive. And then he goes off in a rage it connects him to Daredevil, because Daredevil has the same issue. Matt Murdock has the same issue. He has basically rage issues. The only slight difference is that Murdock doesn't kill people.
See, and like, in my opinion, Thanos also a fantastic villain, because Thanos, and maybe it's not even that he makes you, it's that they show, how did you just word it, Pete? They show the humanity? Is that how you worded it?
Yeah. Well, but as I said, I mean, Thanos is a great villain too, but he's not a real world villain, right?
Right.
Fisk, you could completely believe that there's some dude in New York City running things that is Wilson Fisk.
Yeah.
He has no superpowers. I mean, he wears a suit that has a armor, you know, bulletproof armor or whatever. So, you know, if someone tries to stab him, they can't stab him, but that's only because of the suit.
Yeah.
But.
Go ahead, Derek.
I know I've asked this before. Is this before or after Echo?
This is after Echo.
Okay. So when he was shot, we all figured he wasn't really dead. So cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. He was shot in the eye in the Echo series. He was like healing, but he was in that series. And then in this series, he's pretty much healed up. Still not quite sure how he can run for mayor after being a convicted felon.
We're not going to get into those kind of politics right now. But Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news?
We just have one thing for Disney Plus news that I'm actually really excited about. The short documentary, Not Just a Goof, has premiered on Disney Plus. It's a look back on the making of a Goofy movie. I haven't watched it yet, but I will be.
I watched sections of it because they put sections of it out on YouTube. And it's kind of fun. I mean, it's obviously super staged and that kind of stuff, but they have like the original voices come out, and the guy who did the voice of Goofy still does the voice of Goofy for all the Disney stuff. So it's been Pinto Colvig and then this guy. So, there were a couple in between there.
Bill Farmer? Is that who it is?
Yeah. And I thought, Bill Farmer. And I thought it was interesting as far as how he actually went back and listened to the Pinto Colvig way of he talks about how he got the laugh, and how it's actually like a three-part laugh series, three sound laugh. And it's so, yeah, I thought, interesting. Okay, next week we are doing a little behind the scenes movie before we actually watch the movies. We're going to watch Walt and El Grupo. This follows Walt Disney and his crew of artists as they went to South America just after World War II, I believe, or even during.
I think it was still during. Yeah.
And how they went did the research for Saludos Amigos and the Three Caballeros. So this next week will be a documentary. And then in about a month and a half after Andor, we will watch Saludos Amigos and Three Caballeros. So this is kind of I call it a prequel because this is more the making of.
Yeah.
Before we actually get to.
Have either of you seen this before?
I think I have watched like part, a little bit of it, but I do like early in Disney Plus land, but I have not watched it in years.
Yeah. So
I don't think so.
So this movie to me makes those movies better because they actually aren't very good. There's sequences in them that are pretty good, but as a whole, they're not very good, but it's very interesting. It's very interesting to watch this and then watch those and see why they were made and everything like that. And this is a very interesting, it's an interesting movie. I think it is. So I'm glad we're doing this. I've been kind of saying for a while, we do a lot of Disney documentaries, and I think this it's maybe not the best one, but it's interesting.
And it is as long as the other two put together. This is an hour 47. So
yeah.
All right,
but you get, and the another nice thing about this is you get some time with some of his artists as well. So you get to meet like Mary Blair and some of the other artists that eventually became more well known and things like that for Disneyland. But
yeah, so okay, guys, I said we kind of have through the middle of May kind of blocked out, especially with Andor taking up 4 weeks of our time. But if you have suggestions, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com, message us Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, anywhere. We will answer all of your messages, even if it's to say no, that's not something we really want to do. But I don't think I've ever actually said no to anyone. I've just kind of wanted more information, and then we've kind of discussed it out. So, and if you want to be on the show to discuss something, let us know. We love having guest stars. So, guys, we have new episodes coming out Thursdays on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate and Pete, Gina and Steve are on spring break, but we'll be back next week. We will see everyone then. Bye, guys.
Watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.